somam sakshat.
Bhakti-yogam loksate. Lokasya janato vidvamsi. Chakre satvatra samhitam. Anatopasamam sakshat. Bhakti-yogam-adhoksaje. Lokasya-nato-vidvamsi. That's right. Sorry, it was me. Lokasya janato vams vidvams.
Lokasya janato vidvams.
Chakre sattva samahitam.
Chakre sattva samahitam.
Anartha.
Anartha.
Things which are superfluous.
Things which are superfluous.
Upasmam.
Upasmam.
Mitigation.
Mitigation.
Sakshad.
Sakshad.
Directly.
Directly.
Bhakti yogam.
Bhakti yogam.
The linking process of devotional service.
The linking process of devotional service.
Adhokshaje.
Adhokshaje.
Unto the transcendence.
Unto the transcendence.
Lokasya.
Lokasya.
Of the general mass of men.
Of the general mass of men.
Ajanata,
Ajanata,
those who are unaware of, Vidvan, the supremely learned,
Chakre,
compiled,
Satvata,
in relation with the supreme truth,
Samhitam,
Vedic literature.
Literature.
Translation of the four by His Divine Grace of Prabhupada. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by linking the process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Translation responsively. The material miseries of the living entity,
which are superfluous to him,
can be directly mitigated
by linking process of devotional service.
But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead. This statement suggests that the complete unit of the Supreme Personality of Godhead includes his parts and parcels also. He saw, therefore, his different energies, namely the internal energy, marginal energy, external energy, and he also saw the different plenary portions and part plenary portions, namely his different incarnations also. And he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely, the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Revival of the dormant affection or love of Godhead does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with loving transcendental service. But even with the prescribed forms of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. Such mitigation of material affection does not wait for the development of transcendental knowledge. Rather, knowledge is dependent on devotional service for the ultimate realization of the supreme truth. Omagana Timiranda Shyaganjana Shalakya Chakshura Militamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam. This is another really interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada states here that Srila Vyasadeva Srila Vyasadeva, in his meditation, saw the different energies of the Lord, namely the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. So in researching that, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there's a section there which describes this. And according to the Vishnu Purana, and I quote that section from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, according to the Vishnu Purana, the living entities are considered Kshetra-gyan energy. Although the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and fully cognizant and is fully cognizant, he nonetheless becomes entrapped by material contamination and suffers all the miseries of material existence. Such living entities live in different ways in accordance with the degree of their entanglement in this material nature. The original energy of the Supreme Lord is spiritual and non-different from the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead. The living entity is called the marginal energy of the Lord, and the material energy is called the inferior energy of the Lord. Due to his material inebriety, the living entity in the marginal position becomes entangled with this inferior energy, matter. At such a time, he forgets his spiritual significance, identifies himself with the material energy, and thereby becomes subjected to the threefold miseries. Only when he is freed from such material contamination can he be situated in his proper position. And that proper position, of course, is to be a devotee of Krishna. So the different things that Vyasadeva saw in his meditation, the second part that he saw in his meditation was he saw the different plenary portions and part plenary portions, namely the different incarnations of Krishna. So firstly, he saw the Supreme Lord. And then the third part, he specifically observed the unwanted miseries of the conditioned souls who are bewildered by the external energy. And this is the nature of a preacher. A true preacher actually sees the miseries of the living entities, sees the suffering, and can't bear to have that suffering inflicted on the masses of people. The fourth point that Srila Vyasadeva saw was that, and at last he saw the remedial measure for the conditioned souls, namely the process of devotional service. It is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the name, fame, glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not only did he see the suffering, but he also saw the remedial panacea to end that suffering. Yesterday I had a meeting with the chaplaincy board of Victoria. And every month we have a meeting, and there are ministers from all different religions. And especially when you're dealing with chaplaincy, you're dealing with real suffering. You know, in the hospital, there's nothing but suffering, pain, suffering, and death. And so these chaplains have a desire to help people to mitigate this suffering. And they're not like doctors in that they're not striving to find some material medicine that will cure them of their illness, but they're wanting to give spiritual solace. But actually they're very much bewildered how they can do that. They have the desire to do it, just like Vyasadeva, he saw the material suffering, but he also saw the solution. And that solution is loving God deeply, is to connect with God. And the process that's mentioned here, it is a great transcendental science and begins with the process of hearing and chanting the glories of the holy name of the Lord. So this is our legacy. This is our gift that's been given by the Parampara, and in particular Srila Prabhupada. We also, generally speaking, we're all good people, and we see the suffering in this material world, and we want to offer a panacea. We want to offer a medicine. We have that medicine. That medicine is the holy name of the Lord. So recently we had that opportunity to give that medicine in bulk to the people at the Rath Yatra. So this is very significant. But let's talk about causeless mercy of the Lord, this point of causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada here describes causeless mercy. When the Lord is fully satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotee, he may endow him with his loving transcendental service. So when we chant nicely, we actually get an opportunity, Hare Krishna, we actually get an opportunity to serve the Lord. But even with this prescribed form of hearing and chanting, there is at once mitigation of the superfluous and unwanted miseries of material existence. The fact that Prabhupada used this word superfluous, does anybody ever really know the meaning of the word superfluous? Superfluous actually means unnecessary. Unnecessary. It's not necessary to have these sufferings, to have this material affliction. So here it's also described that Prabhupada says, by sincere efforts, the devotee has to use his God-given intelligence in the service of the Lord. This causeless mercy is not a random benediction upon a jiva, and if that was the case, then God would be biased and he would also be impartial, but God is impartial. So by saying God has causeless mercy, the fact that I became a devotee is the causeless mercy of Krishna, is the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that's right up to a point. But in another point, I had to make the effort. I had to actually open myself up and allow that causeless mercy to come. Prabhupada then continues to say, he may endow him with his transcendental loving service. So the point of the whole thing is to get the mercy of the Lord, to get this mercy of the Lord, we have to somehow or other engage in service to the Lord. So this is why Srila Prabhupada was always keen to engage everybody in some sort of service. Even the drunkard, if he could do some service, he would be pleased. Remember, you read in Leelamrita, there was that drunk that used to come to the early kirtans. And what was it? He bought toilet paper or something for the Lord? Yes. And so Prabhupada was saying, this is rendering service. So we, as devotees, we know that the panacea is the chanting of the holy name, but that starts off by actually getting people to do something for Krishna. Chanting the holy name is service also, but also practically. Sometimes we can't get people to straight away do the chanting, but we can get people to open a door for us, move something here and there, do something. Some agyata sakriti, unknowns to them, they are performing service, and then they will get causeless mercy. So the living entity gets the opportunity to render service. We have to be mindful when that opportunity comes. Recognize the opportunity and act on it. So we ourselves also have to be really mindful when we get an opportunity to serve. And we also have to be mindful of how we can engage another person in service. Just like, say, for example, we had the opportunity, and we get a constant opportunity to actually offer people the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna and render some service when we go to different places to preach. Recently, again, we took Jayadeva Prabhu to the Shiva Vishnu, Shiva Ashram. Now, they are so enthusiastic, and they're so connected and friendly to the Hare Krishna movement, that when Jayadeva came there, those of us that went, it was actually an ecstatic night. I don't know if Gunamani has put the video of this up yet on the website, but that place was just buzzing with the holy name. It was like, wasn't it? Harinamananda was there. It was, in a sense, it was like the spiritual world. You know, we were all chanting, coming from different areas, but we're all chanting the holy name. In the end, we were having some darshan with Swami Shankarananda, and they started asking about Harinam. How do you guys do that? You know, chanting in the streets. You weren't there at that stage, Harinam. We were mentioning you, but you weren't there. So we were saying, well, it's such an ecstatic thing. We went, and Jayadeva was explaining how in the early days, chanting in London, and the difficulties that we had, and how we were chanting here, and some of the ecstasies that we had here in Melbourne, to the extent where Swamiji looked at his disciples and he said, what do you think? Do you think we could do this? And they said, yeah, we can do this. So what we're now making arrangements with is that we have a combined Harinam party in Mornington. So this is an amazing thing, engaging people in service. And they get an opportunity to get this causeless mercy and get the bliss. So this is a wonderful thing. So the result will be that there is at once mitigation of the superfluous, unwanted miseries of material existence. When you're fully absorbed in Harinam, and Harinam Ananda, what a name, Harinam Ananda, the bliss of Harinam. When one is fully absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, in the Harinam party, you may have a bung leg, you may be feeling a little ill, you may have a headache, all that goes out the window. Or you may have financial problems, or you may have problems with your husband or wife or whatever. But when you go on Harinam, it's Harinam, and it's just bliss. So all the material miseries, all those unwanted things, those superfluous things, are blown away. It is by devotion, bhakti yoga, love for the Supreme Lord, that we in fact develop knowledge, and it develops in the heart of the devotees. Now I just wanted to read, I read this really beautiful prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in relationship to this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has such beautiful prayers. He's such an intimate connection, devotee of Lord Krishna. He has such an intimate relationship that he produces these beautiful poems and prayers. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. My dear mind, all I can see is unlimited material miseries and difficulties on all sides. So he's taking the role of the conditioned soul. Especially there are five specific troubles. Now, these five specific troubles are mentioned in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras in the third sutra. The first one is ignorance, avidya. Ignorance makes me completely forget my nature as a pure spirit soul. So you completely identify with the body, thinking I am this body. We're not this body. When Prabhupada was preaching, this is the first thing he would say. Please understand, you are not this material body. You are spirit soul within the body. And thinking that I am a man, I am a woman, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am Hare Krishna. All these things. Or another thing is, I'm better than you. Sometimes we have this also within our movement, thinking that because I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm better than this other person. You're not. Everyone is a divine spark of the Supreme. You've had the opportunity to get this causeless mercy. Now it is your duty to pass this on to others. Sometimes the devotee feels a little proud. Yes, I've got all the knowledge. I've got the great mercy of the Lord. And these people have less knowledge. But this is not the case. This is not the right idea. This is ignorance. Number two is distraction. Ashmita. Conceited, egoistic pride causes me to be distracted from the real essence of life. Doing everything for temporary happiness. So doing things for temporary happiness. Thinking that, oh, I'm so talented. I'm so learned. I'm so beautiful. No one is as good as me. So this is another trouble that harasses our minds on a daily basis. So firstly, we're ignorant thinking with these bodies. Next thing, you think, okay, this body is so good. Oh, I'm so beautiful. Oh, I'm so talented. So we have to knock that out. It's a major trouble. The third thing is misconcentration. Misconcentration. Abhinishvesha. And this is, I've become deeply absorbed in trivial pursuits. Not the game trivial pursuits, but trivial, that also. But trivial pursuits in material life, focusing one's mind and intelligence on material things. Like, say, for example, and this even happens, we have the gross materialists, and they're absorbed in things like football and cricket and this thing and that thing. But even as devotees, we have to be mindful of not following trivial pursuits, not being too interested in astrology, prophecies, politics. All these things are all trivial pursuits. Sometimes you see devotees, they get so absorbed in astrology. So absorbed. Oh, this pundit told me this and that, and I will never have a successful marriage, or, for three lifetimes I'm going to have kidney complaints, and all these different things. As a devotee, it's all gone. It doesn't apply. It no longer applies. Astrology really does not apply to a devotee. You can get some guidance, some direction, whether there's compatibility between two people, but some people take it so seriously. I've seen so many devotees that have taken this astrology so much to heart that they direct their whole life around this. You know, I will never have a successful marriage. What a load of bumpkin. It's a question of applying yourself and including Krishna in everything that you do. and that will be successful. So we don't get too caught up in that. The other thing is mundane prophecies. Have you heard about 2012, Prabhu? This is the whole thing. You know, the end of the world is coming. It's prophesied. Bogus. Bogus. Whatever the hell happens to this material world, who cares? It's all for the betterment of preaching Krishna consciousness. It's all for the better for promoting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. You know? It will happen. Things will go up and down. The economy will go down. There'll be wars. There'll everything. But now that this Krishna consciousness movement is present on this planet, we're going to be the dynamic force that changes the direction of history. And the other thing is politics. Thinking so much, oh, I want this position, I want that position. Maybe I can be Sankirtan leader and knock Hari Namananda off his post there and I can start leading the Kirtan.
Go for it, you see.
These sort of things, politics, is not part of the devotee's mindset. And the third and fourth thing is misdirected love, raga. I've developed love and attachment to things which are averse to pure God consciousness and material love devoid of Krishna. So self-centeredness. What can this person do for me in a loving exchange? It always has to be, what can I do to serve the other person? This is very much important. So we have, that's another trouble when we have misdirected love. The fifth one is impurity. Dvesha. My soul has become filthy and polluted by nasty qualities, dark qualities. We have to be, these are major troubles. Things like envy, jealousy, meanness, compassionlessness manifest in so many ways. And even in a devotee's life, it can manifest in so many ways that we have to root these things out. These are the causes of our troubles. You know, like one thing, when a devotee has done some really good service, when a devotee gets an opportunity and has strived to do some service and is actually successful in that service, it is actually incumbent upon us, not that we puff that devotee up, but we talk to that devotee in such a way, in a complimentary way, Krishna has given you the intelligence to do this service so nicely. Thank you so much for serving Krishna like this. Compliment the devotees. We all need to feel that we are worthy, that we've done something. Because what's happening actually there is Krishna, through you, is giving you the opportunity to elevate that devotee, to lift that devotee up, to thank that devotee. The devotee may feel it from within also that Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is pleased with my service, but when it comes from another, then Krishna is talking through you. So compliment the other devotee. Oh Prabhu, you made such beautiful garlands. Oh Prabhu, you cooked such a nice prasadam. It's not that we're puffing that person up and the person then goes into these other problems that we're talking about and becomes, yes I am, I make the best garlands. You know, no, that's not it. Krishna's provided you the intelligence and given you the mercy to be able to do this. So this is also very much important. To knock out selfishness, to knock out possessiveness, these dark qualities within us, they're the ones that trouble us the most. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer continues. Due to all these distracting troubles, I'm forgetting my real home in the spiritual world, the eternal land of no anxiety. And I've become completely mad by frantically trying to enjoy all the so-called enjoyments offered by the material illusion.
Sorry, folks. I won't answer this.
Oh, mine, my dear brother, just see how my heart has become so full of anxiety due to the constant worries. Is this mine? Is that mine? I'm searching for the remedy to cure this material disease while I'm being tortured by Yamaraj. So he's taking the role of a devotee. Constantly, lifetime after lifetime, we're tortured by these material diseases. And the cure, as Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, the cure for this material disease is developing real love for Krishna. Real love for Krishna. Krishna is a person. He loves you and he has an opportunity. You have an opportunity to again love him. Like Srila Vyasadeva in the previous verses, if you read this, how Srila Vyasadeva developed his love for Krishna, how he meditated on the Supreme Lord, just going back a few verses, There is the cottage for meditation as Samyaprasya, which enlivens the transcendental activities of the sages. So here Vyasadeva goes to this place, which is a transcendental place, which has enlivened all the sages. So our practice of our sadhana should also be done in a holy place, here at the temple, or the temple of our home, making our home a temple, making our residence a temple. So there are so many grihasthas within this community, and in each and every one of our homes it should be a small repository, a nice temple of Krishna. There has to be a space within our house which is solely for the purpose of Krishna's pleasure, where we can go and we can chant the holy name, we can meditate on Krishna, we can develop that divine love. And the next verse was, in that place Srila Vyasadeva, in his own ashram, which was surrounded by berry trees, sat down to meditate after touching water for purification. So we can learn from that that we have to purify ourselves. We have to have clean cloth, even at home. Hare Krishna, thank you. Even at home, we have to be suci. It's not that you come out of bed with your pajamas, oh yes, I'll chant some rounds, and start chanting. No, we have to clean ourselves. We have to be pakka, and then sit and meditate in a clean place. Not that we have stuff and last night's plates all over the place, and this over here, and some overturned thing over there. Everything has to be placed in the right, neat and clean position. And then we can meditate properly. And in a clean sitting position, like Vyasadeva, we then meditate on the Lord. The next part is, thus he fixed his mind perfectly engaged it and perfectly engaged it by linking it to devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. So chanting the Maha Mantra is what our meditation is, with rapt attention, really rapt attention, really focusing on the holy name. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. So Krishna will come to us if we meditate in that way. So we are required to perform meditation every day with attention, devotion, and especially with deep love. And it is out of love that we call on the Lord. From there, inspiration will come. This is the causeless mercy. How can I please the Supreme Lord? When we're sitting there chanting, then we constantly have this, how can I please the Supreme Lord? You know, because if you love someone, you want to do things for that person. So Krishna says, bring others to me. Krishna said that. That's the final instructions of the Gita. Bring others to me. Like you are now feeling this connection with me, now you find other people and bring them to me. Now how we do that is an individual's choice. An individual's ability, an individual's creativity, an individual's imagination. We have to constantly think, how can we do things? What else can we do? We don't get caught in a rut, we have to keep on thinking. You know, when we do these Rath Yatra festivals, Prabhu and myself and the other managers are constantly thinking, how can we do things better? And after the Rath Yatra, I was just speaking to Brahmakund, they've come up with other different things. So Krishna gives us the intelligence to start thinking, how can we do things better? Because Krishna is asking us, bring others to me. So we have to think, how can we do this better? Brahmakund was saying, all the guards were thinking, how can we get more Western people to pull the ropes? All of us are really ecstatic to pull the ropes of the Rath cart, but there were people that missed out on the opportunity to pull the ropes of the Rath cart because everybody else was crowding around. And some of the guards were saying to the people that were standing by, yeah, go and pull the ropes. Yeah, I'd like to, but I can't get in there. So Brahmakund, again, by inspiration, by creativity, is thinking, okay, we have to have a section of the cart, of the rope pulling, that is specifically just for new people to pull so they can direct people in. So in every way, we're becoming more enlivened. When we were in the past, when we used to do the Moomba floats, Balaram would be sitting there and I'd be walking around, and then all of a sudden we'd get an inspiration what to do, because they would give us a theme, and then we'd have to develop some Krishna conscious aspect to build a float around their theme. And we used to win prizes, but Krishna inspires us, you know. So we have to use our imagination, we have to use our creativity. And each one of us has a particular proclivity. Some people are good in one thing, some people are good in another. Some people are good in bhajan and kirtan, and some people are good in decorating the deities, and some people are good in preaching and shastra. But they use their talents to make things more and more attractive. Just like, say, for example, I was so inspired by Jayadev Prabhu. Now, we all know kirtan is kirtan, call and response. He did something completely different. He did this mantra choir, which just people's minds just went, wait, this is pretty cool. This is really different. You know, like when we went to Shankarananda Swami's ashram, you know, they're used to the call and response. And then up comes Jayadev. Now, this group sings this part, and this group sings this part, and this group sings this part. And they all followed so nicely. And it was like an amalgam of all these beautiful chants. It was like being in the spiritual world, actually all of us calling out to Krishna individually, and yet we're all different. But the song altogether made a beautiful cacophony. It was just an amazing thing. So he was inspired to do something different with the holy name. So this is the whole thing that we have to do. We have to do what suits us, what is our proclivity, what we're good at. And with enthusiasm, devotees, a prime qualification or a prime necessity for a devotee is that they're enthusiastic. If you love Krishna, you'll want to do something for Krishna. If you love someone, you'll do something for them. Now, Krishna is our love of our life. We'll do anything for him. So thereby, with enthusiasm, we'll think of different things that we can do for him. And with intelligence, we'll do the right things. And then, with that enthusiasm, you put into practice your love for Krishna. To get the causeless mercy, to get Krishna's causeless mercy, we can't be lazy. We cannot be lazy. If you want the bliss, then don't wait for the bliss to come. You have to go out and get it. And you have to have this mantra of, let me show you how much I love you, Krishna. Let me show you how much I love you. Go out there and do something for Krishna. Action. Causeless mercy is received. When we perform the action, we'll get this mercy. In regards to this point of causeless mercy, there's an example that Srila Prabhupada gives that really helps me to understand this concept, and that's about rainfall. You've all heard that analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives. The rain will pour on the rocks and the sea, and also on the fertile ground. It makes no distinction as to qualification, like only pouring on fertile ground, and leaving no rain on the ocean or on the rocks. It pours everywhere without distinction. Thus it is causeless. So the mercy of Lord of Krishna is able to be perceived by all of us. So we just have to finish this lifetime serving the Lord in this way, this service. So as I mentioned before, we just finished a major assault on Maya with this Rath Yatra festival, which for all intent and purposes, to give you a little feedback, was a huge success. Everything was bigger and better. I think there was some really new innovations that were very, very popular that we will expand and develop on. Next week, either Saturday or Sunday, we're going to have a meeting, and it's the ghosty of some of the managers, and we're going to refine and just jot down some things that we can do to improve it. If you have any ideas, please go to any of the managers, either the managers of the stall, the preaching stall, or the shop, or the prasadam. If you have seen, just like Brahmakund came up with these different suggestions, if you have seen something that we can improve on, Krishna is working through your intelligence to do something even better, jot it down and give it to the managers, and we're having a meeting to refine and even improve it even more. But it was a huge success financially. We were very successful again this year. Although there was 150,000 people less than last year at the total St. Kilda Festival, even apart from that, we still had numbers of people coming to our pavilion. There was also the opening of the Rock Bank Hindu Temple, which took away 10,000 Hindu people that would have come to our temple. So it would have come to the Rath Yatra. So there were different things. The weather was a little inclement, so some people may have felt they didn't want to come out. It was drizzly. But whatever the case, it was successful. The holy name went out. It was chanted very nicely. We can improve on that with the sound system. I know. We have to develop that. The prasadam was second to none. Samohini and her preaching as far as the cooking classes, Aditi with the pakoras, Priyavrata with his healthy alternative. All these things were very popular. We're looking forward to getting korma next year. I missed korma. Korma is your turn now. Mobile phones, unbelievable. So, you know, these are all wonderful things. Spiritual knowledge, I think we presented the preaching a lot better this year. We had some really interesting people coming, especially Charu Prabhu, who was doing the Bhagavad Gita readings. That was amazing. He had to get Murali Prabhu to sit beside him and do two, and people were just standing there, happy to stand, waiting for a half an hour, boom, 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 for their Bhagavad Gita reading. So, again, it's a new innovation. Something new, something to inspire people, something to get another aspect. He came up with this idea. People are so interested in tarot cards and all this, why don't we have Bhagavad Gita cards? And it was a huge success. Similarly, the little faces, I don't know if any of you saw how many people went and put their head in, you know. They want to be devotees. They want to be devotees. The spirit soul within is saying, hey, here's my chance to actually show who I really am. I'm a devotee. And they put their head in. And years down the track, when they're going over their old photographs and an 80-year-old person, hey, that's when I was a devotee. That's when I was a Hare Krishna devotee. It makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. So these things were very, very blissful. We developed a lot of friendships. A lot of friendships, which is also a very important part. And most importantly, the beautiful form of the Lord came out with us to partake in this wonderful festival. So firstly, also, I personally have to offer a bit of an apology to some of the devotees in that I may have been a little short, Bhakti laughs, or angry and short-tempered during this period of time at times. Please forgive me for that. I was very much absorbed in my service, and sometimes, you know, you get a little snappy. So I didn't have much to eat, and if the big bhakta doesn't have something to eat, he becomes a little snappy. So I apologize for that, and please forgive me. So everyone that put their heart and soul into this Rath Yatra festival, into this service, would have had an experience of bliss. At one point, you would have experienced bliss. Am I right? There's one point where you either look up at Lord Jagannath and think, wow, this all makes sense. Or, you know, when you're serving out some prasadam, or you're preaching in some way, or you're touching a person's face and doing the gopi dots on their face and they're so appreciative. There is one point in your service area that you experience this causeless mercy, this bliss. So now we have to move on. Now we have to do the next. What's next? You know, it's like we've won that fight, we've been in that fight, we've done that war. Where's the next battle? Where's the next fight? And this is it. We're fighting for Krishna. We're fighting for the Supreme Lord. We're fighting for love. You know, when you have those classic movies of Sir Galahad or the Prince Charming fighting for his loved one, you know, you'll fight anything. You'll fight the dragon or the monsters, you know. Well, we're like that. We're lovers of Krishna. And we want to fight for him. We want to, the next battle that we want to win. We want to move on, other areas. Constantly looking for more ways, more mercy. We're never stagnant. Moving constantly, doing things for the Lord. Dynamic, searching our brains, thinking of different ways. Don't get caught into a rut. Last night I had a sincere person ringing up while I was preparing class. Prabhu, what can we do to preach this way and that way? How can we get more devotees? You know, so we have to look, how can we do that? How can we make more devotees? How can we bring more people to Krishna? How can I do my service better? Every time analyzing, don't be just on a platform. Develop more, just like yesterday. Varadhatri Radha Prabhu has found a new way of doing the vases. You know, and she was ecstatic about it. Because it's more efficient, save money, looks gorgeous. And she was asking, how do the flowers look? Are they okay? I'm doing them now on Thursday. I don't have to battle with the people in the on Saturdays. They do all the garlands and the flowers come. I get better flowers on Thursday. They look more robust. I can focus and really concentrate and make all the vases really beautiful. And have a look. They're absolutely gorgeous. So this is her service. She's thinking. She's dynamic. She's searching of ways of making things better. In each of our services, we should also think, how can I make it better? How can I do my service better? Look for new ways. Like His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada was always looking for different ways to do the service better. If the preaching program wasn't going so well, he'd say, no loss. No loss. Let's move on. Let's do something else. If it didn't work, doesn't matter. Let's go on. Let's do something else. So there's a quotation from my interfaith Muslim brothers and sisters. If the mountain will not come to Muhammad, Muhammad will go to the mountain. You've all heard that? So the legend goes that when the founder of Islam was asked to give proof of his teachings, he ordered Mount Safa to come to him. When the mountain did not comply, Muhammad raised his hands to the sky, towards heaven, and said, God is so merciful. If he had obeyed my words, it would have fallen, the mountain, on our heads and caused our destruction. I will therefore go to the mountain and thank God that He has had mercy on this stiff-necked generation. So we have to be loose-necked. We have to be compliant. We have to work with the Lord to produce the results that we want. The result is we want to serve and love Krishna. We want to bring other people to Krishna consciousness. One thing that we cannot become, and we have to, although I know we're known as the kitchen religion, we cannot become a finger-licking society. You know how some major corporate companies have got finger-licking good? Well, it can be applied to ISKCON also, because we eat with our hands and it's finger-licking. We can't become a finger-licking society where we're just focusing on our next plate of prasadam. Prasadam is wonderful, but again, it's a tool for bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And one thing that I have to mention is the fact that Srila Prabhupada was against having very spicy foods. Because the spicy foods are part of being in the mode of passion. We are not in the part of the mode of passion. We are in goodness. And our food should be so palatable, tasty, succulent, juicy and sweet that when a non-devotee comes here, he's not put off. Prabhupada in particular, for the Western palate, made a point that we cannot use hot, spicy foods. To attract people, it has to be succulent, sweet, juicy, tasty. And so that means we have to curb our desire, our personal desire, for hot chilies. We may be coming from different cultures, and it may be quite okay to stick heaps of chilies in where you nearly blow a person's socks off. This is not part of Krishna consciousness. Not part of Krishna consciousness. And we have to be mindful to that. If we're cooking for ourselves, then you can cook as much as you want. It's spicy. But we're cooking for Krishna.
We never cook for ourselves.
That's right. But I'm saying if you're a materialist and you're cooking for yourself, but we as devotees are only ever cooking for Krishna, and Krishna doesn't like chilies. He doesn't like it hot. Actually, chilies were a fabrication with Samohini. They came from South America and were introduced into India. It isn't even a Vedic spice. But the Indians have taken it on board and think, hey, I'm liking this very much and put a lot in. We can't. We can't do this. For the preaching, we can't. I had one person say to me, I had to go to hospital because my stomach was so sore after having prasadam here. If we said that to Srila Prabhupada, what do you think he would have said? If he'd heard that a person that came to this temple took Krishna prasadam and it was so hot that it burnt his stomach that he had to go to hospital. What do you think he would have said? Do you think he would have been pleased? So we have to improve in everything that we do with this consciousness of how can I bring more people to my Lord Krishna. This is what we... And in simple ways like that, to cook such tantalizing foods that both the Indian and the Western person will relish and say, my God, Krishna is so wonderful. But if we're thinking of our own stomachs and thinking of our next plate of prasadam, then this becomes a finger-licking society. This is the most important thing. It's not. The most important thing is getting out there and promoting Krishna consciousness because we love Krishna. We're a spiritual movement eager to please Krishna because we love him. We're ready to abandon all our sense gratification, all these different things, for a higher goal to please Krishna, just like the gopis. The gopis were so unattached to anything material. They left their families, their little babies, everything. They just left it and went to go to Krishna. Not for the fact that, oh, I'm going to be dancing with Krishna. Look at me, look at me. No, how can I serve Krishna? I want to please Krishna. Krishna wants me to come out and dance with him. He wants me to leave my children. I'll do that. It's not that we leave our children. You know what I mean. We have to have that mood. That mood that we'll do anything to serve Krishna. And again, I repeat, Krishna says, if you love me, bring more people to me. Bring my fallen conditioned soul back to me. You've got the knowledge now. You've got the cure. You've got the panacea. You bring more people back to me. That's our duty. That's our joy. So we're looking at new ventures, exciting new ventures. One of the things that we've been discussing with Aniruddha Prabhu is that we would like to start doing external Sunday feast programs. External Sunday feast programs, once a month. Working with the Bhakti Vriksha groups in the different suburban areas, like either in the western suburbs, northern suburbs, eastern suburbs. Once a month, we hire a hall, we've got all the paraphernalia, we'll have all the different panels that we use for the preaching, we'll have nice pictures of Radha Balaba and all the deities. We'll have a program in a hall, and then all the Bhakti Vriksha groups in that particular area will contribute to the prasadam. We'll have a beautiful feast, good kirtan, good class, and in that way generate more interest. So this is the next project. We were hoping that we were going to get Moomba again this year, but somehow or other there's someone within the Melbourne Council that doesn't want us to be part of the Moomba procession, which is a real pity, because the theme this year, I rang them up yesterday and said, why the hell are we not in this? We've won prizes, we'd like to do this. Oh, I'm sorry, we know the management thought that this wasn't an appropriate theme for you. And I said, what was the theme? The theme was food. I said, hello? We're the kitchen religion. You know, I mean, we distribute so many meals to people in need throughout the city. We are the vegetarian experts. How come we're not part of this? We could have had people dressed up as little samosas and pakoras, and we could have done anything. You know, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Lange, we can do something next year perhaps. So next year we're going to make a sincere effort, because again, this is a huge preaching opportunity. So I was disappointed. We lost that battle. But there are new things that we can do, you know? And the next thing is that we really all have to focus on is these external Sunday feast programs. The sole purpose of that program is to bring Caucasian people to that program. Not that it's a Hindu fest or an Indian fest, but all the devotees from the Bhakti Vriksha groups have got office people that they work with, people that their children go to school with, next door neighbours, so on and so forth. We give invitations. You don't have to come to the temple here. We've got a program at the town hall. Come, enjoy. And we'll have different things like face painting will be there. All these different things will be. It's like a mini festival we're hoping to have at these Sunday feast programs. But we need your support. So this is the next direction. This is the next. We'll try it out, see how it goes. If it's successful, then we'll move on. Carry on. So, are there any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
First of all, you're very nice in the yatra. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Second thing about the astrology, Srila Prabhupada said all inauspicious things are in and you can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can't take it too seriously. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Actually, just on astrology, it's an interesting thing. Some of you have heard this. But when we became devotees, Bhakti and I, we had our astrology done for marriage. See if we were compatible.
Arthur.
Huh? Arthur, wasn't it? It was Arthur. So the best Vedic astrologer. Oh, he was very good. Big fat man in Helen. And we came there and he was sitting there, you know, oh yes, we were ready. Oh, you two should not be together. This is not going to work. I said, okay, fair enough. Then we did Chinese astrology. Oh no, you're a dragon. Oh no, you're a snake and she's a pig and it's just not going to work. Not going to work. Then we had Western astrology. Oh God, you're a Virgo, he's a Cancer, born on this time and that. Oh, it's not going to work. So 34 years later, because Krishna's in the center of our marriage, we're still working it out. We're still here, we're still doing it, you know. So, fooey to astrology. You can get some guideline, but you know my feelings on it. Any other comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Anybody inspired with some new ideas on how to preach Krishna? Got some new ideas on Harinam? Some new tantalizing things that will entice people? Yeah? What? Tell you later. Chicken? Any other things? As far as preaching, any of the ladies come up with some good ideas? Have you thought about it? You think about it during the week. Think about what we can do. You know, like, say, for example, Chiru Chaitanya came up with this card reading thing. It was just far out, you know? People were so into it. It was such a brilliant idea. We can develop that, you know? Other different things we can do. Yes, Prabhu, you got a question? No? Some things with the kids. How good were the kids? You know, with their dancing and their sweet little dress up and all that kind of thing. They were so good. You know, I really enjoyed them. And something different again to have, what was it? What was the group's called?
Social Change.
Something completely different, you know. So these sort of things, we have to think outside the box. We can easily get caught up in a rut, you know, Mangala Arati, this and that, go to Crossways, go to the office, do this, do that, come back home, go to Mangala Arati, da 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 da. We have to expand, we have to think outside the box. What else can I do? Can I write letters to the editor? Can I do this? Can I perfect my service in this way or that way? It's what is incumbent upon us. We have to keep thinking using our imagination. So thank you very much, Prabhus. Did you have a question, Mataji? No? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Great.